certainly not least, our final presenter is Shin-Lin Shea. He's an ORISE research participant, and he will present on the impact of PAP guideline changes on annual chlamydia testing among young women 2007 to 2014.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. On behalf of my colleagues, I'm going to share with you our study on impacts of PAP guideline changes on annual chlamydia testing among young women, data from 2005 to 2014. So the first thing I would like to introduce is what PAP guideline changes were. In 2009, the American College of Obstetrician and Gynecologists, or ACOG, along with other organizations, made recommendation that PAP test begin at age of 21 or older. Prior to the change, the testing was recommended for women 3 years after the onset of sexual activities. In addition, in 2012, the frequency of testing was changed from annual to every 3 years for women younger than 30 years old. As a result, we expected that the PAP testing will less common among young women, especially for those younger than 21 years old. So why should we be concerned about the association between PAP guideline changes and chlamydia testing? So the previous study has shown that women who underwent PAP testing were more likely to have chlamydia testing as well. A study sampling data from 5 family medicine clinics at the University of Michigan showed that PAP test and CT screen both dropped after PAP guideline changes in 2009. Another study conducted by a retrospective chart review in 5 family practice units at a hospital in Toronto also reached a similar conclusion that both testing rates declined after guideline changes. However, the HEDIS 2014 report on chlamydia testing rates show that chlamydia testing rates have been slowly increasing over years. So the shortcoming of previous 2 studies include sample size and time frame. They may not represent a national trend. So the goal of our study is to assess the impact of the guideline changes on the chlamydia testing rates using large insurance claims databases in a longer time frame. So the data source we use is true market commercial claims and the encounter data that covers 2005 to 2014. The study population include women aged 15 to 25 who had insurance coverage at least 330 days in a given year. Notice that for each year we selected eligible women to be included. So each year represents a cross-sectional sample rather than a longitudinal cohort. Chlamydia testing rate is pretty straightforward. For each calendar year, it is obtained by the number of sexually active women who had chlamydia testing divided by the number of sexually active women. We follow HEDIS measure on chlamydia testing closely. So for denominator, women were identified sexually active if they had ICD, CPT, and NDC code related to reproductive health care, including contraceptives, pregnancy tests, STD tests, and PAP tests, and so on. So we use piecewise regression to fit a regression line for each time interval. In other words, we have a piece regression for data from 2005 to 2009, and another piece for 2010 to 2014. This graph illustrates the idea of what statistical testing we did. So suppose the green line is the green line is the estimated trend of testing for the first time period. The blue line indicates that the estimated trend continued. The red line illustrates that the estimated trend accelerates. On the other hand, the estimated trend may slow down or even change the direction. The blue dashed line represents the decreasing estimated testing rates. In short, we want to test whether or not the annual change in chlamydia testing remain the same before and after guideline changes. So here are results we have. Chlamydia testing rates were presented by age and by PEP testing status. Because of initial age of PEP testing, we divided study population into two age groups. The right hand side is for age 15 to 20 years, and the left is for 21 to 25 years. So the blue dashed line connects the chlamydia testing rates for women who underwent PEP test in a given year. And at the bottom, the red dashed line connects the chlamydia testing rates for women who did not receive PEP testing in a given year. So as you can see, women who underwent PEP test have always been more likely to have chlamydia testing. So the solid line is the estimated regression line for overall chlamydia testing rates. I'm going to explain the implication of this regression line in next slide. So for age 15 to 20, the slope for 2005 to 2009 is 0.019, meaning that annual change in chlamydia testing rate is 1.9%. If the trend continues in 2010 to 2014, it will be like the dashed line here. However, the regression line fitted to data for 2010 to 2014 has slope 0.01. In other words, the increase in chlamydia testing has slowed down by 0.9% per year since 2010. The slopes are significantly different. Similarly, the increase in chlamydia testing has slowed down by 0.8% per year since 2010 for women aged 21 to 25. The difference in slopes is also significant. So previous two studies show that the decline of chlamydia testing, while our study showed the increase of testing. However, the increase in testing has been slowing down since 2010. We understand that the slightly increased chlamydia testing rates may be due to several reasons. We consider most of them positive impacts, while PEP guideline change is negative. There are some limitations in our study because market scan data are a collection of data from healthcare pairs. So each year, new pairs contribute data while some drop out. So the composition of study population changes over time. And second, Hades major may misclassify women as sexually active. Here are two examples. And third, some women may have chlamydia testing in at public settings, which is normally not included in insurance claim databases. So here are three takeaway messages. The chlamydia testing rates continue to increase in both age group, regardless of the guideline changes. However, the annual increase in chlamydia testing has been slowing down since 2010. And our study results are similar to that in the 2014 Hades report. And overall testing rate is still suboptimal. So efforts to increase testing are needed. And I want to thank Jill Harper, Chirag Patel, and Guo Yutao for their contribution in this study. Also CDC for the support.
We have time for questions.
Good job. I have, just like the last presentation, more of a comment from the reproductive health. Again, I want to make sure people separate Pap cytology is cervical cancer screening, and chlamydia testing is STD. So, you know, cervical cancer, yes, long-term down the road. So Pap guideline changes aren't bad. They're evidence-based. So it's kind of similar to the condom story. So I just want to make sure that we don't put negatively that the Pap guidelines are decreasing chlamydia, because it's two separate. And as you said, we have vaginal self-collect, urine testing. So it's more of that education for providers that these are two separate categories.
Good job. Yes. Pap guideline changes are evidence-based. So we won't highlight its implication in terms of STD prevention, not focus on Pap guideline testing rate, the decrease in Pap guideline Pap testing rate.
Sorry, one last comment. This is actually an opportunity, and we need to look at it as an opportunity, because this is our chance to say, especially to OB-GYN and family planning people, you can't get these people to come in every year for an annual visit anymore because it won't be paid for by PAP, but you can get them in to do STD screening because it will be paid for. So we just need to take this opportunity to say, guidelines have changed. Let's use that to our advantage to increase STD screening.
Do we have questions for the rest of our presenters? All right. Thank you for your time this morning.